Yeah, we broke up before Pesach, and now we're back. And we're starting a new parsha. The truth is, there was a few things at the end of last week's parsha, but I think we're going to leave Parshas Matos. Now we go to Parshas Maaseh. Parshas Maaseh is the last parsha in Chumash Bamidbar. It's actually fascinating. What do I mean by fascinating? If you just open up the Chumash, it looks so technical. Maaseh just means travels, the journeys that they took. And what we're doing now, as we know from the last week's parsha, we're almost at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, as we said. We're about to enter the land of Israel. So we're at the end of the 40 years of the Jewish people going through the desert. So until now, we're sort of like tying all the last strings, you know, dividing the land exactly, Moshe Rabbeinu giving them and certain things of exactly what's going to be as they enter the land of Israel. But here, what we're going to find here in this chapter, in Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, it seems so technical and so, I don't know if you want, like boring almost. What is it? It's like a map, like a GPS, what it's doing. And it's not even a GPS forward. It's a GPS backwards. What it seems, and it is, it's just recapping all of the places that they went to, through in the desert from when they left Egypt until they are about to cross the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. So it's a technical chapter, but it has so much incredible, beautiful meaning. And this is so beautiful, and we'll see today. So much meaning in the sense that it's really like, it's our life. So what we have to picture, first we'll read some of the psukim. We won't read all of them, because it's really a lot of places. But we just have to picture that, and we have to realize that what we are doing here is actually journeying through our own lives. That's what we're doing. This is the journey of life. And one thing to keep in mind, and we're going to discuss this a little bit more afterwards, is that the journey that we are talking about here has many stops, many starts, you know, many ups, many downs, as we know life is that way. But more than that, it is recapping. In other words, it's not, as we say, giving us an itinerary for a trip that we're about to take. Rather, it is recapping something we've already experienced, right? So what that signifies in our own life would be, and this is an interesting question, and as I say, we'll keep that in mind and we'll come back to it, is it important or is it valuable or is it something that we should be doing? Going back through our life, so to speak, things that we've experienced, places we've been, people we've met, or is life meant to be, you know, you've, so to speak, been there, done that, move on, you know, kind of thing. So it's a very interesting thing because in this chapter, obviously, if the Torah is doing it, it means there is tremendous value, and we have to see how much value there is to actually going back and not just mentioning, not just remembering in a, you know, so to speak, superficial way where we were and what we experienced, rather actually exploring the meaning of all of the different places that we were and how one place is what got us to the next place, is what got us to the next place and the next place, and all the correct choices or the incorrect choices and decisions that we made in each of these places. So let's see how it works in the Chumash. It's actually amazing. It's actually quite amazing. So in front of you, the booklet that has the Chumash, you can see, says chapter 33, Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys. Now, just keep in mind that we mentioned the word journeys of the Jewish people, Asher Yotzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who went forth from the land of Egypt, Litziv Eisam, according to their legions, Biyad Moshe V'Aaron, under the hand of Moshe and Aaron. So this is like the general heading of the whole thing. And then it says one more pasuk, which is also an introductory pasuk, Vayichtav Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do? He wrote. What did he write? He wrote Es Moitzaehem, all of their, sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm just trying to figure out how to use this thing. Of course, it's not going to work that. Okay. Es Moitzaehem, they're going forth. This is on page 405. Limasa ahem, according to their journeys. It's an interesting language. Maitza ahem, like lahaiti, to go out. So it's like when they're leaving from where they're leaving, and masa would be more the journey to where they are going, right? Al pi Hashem, according to Hashem. Ve'ele mas ahem lemaitza ahem. It's a bit repetitive, and we have to understand why, but it says, and these were their journeys according to their going forth. You see that? And it switches. Very good, Jackie. Very interesting. First it says, Maitza ayem lemas ayem. And over here it says, Mas ayem lemaitza ayem. Also in the first it says, Al pi Hashem, according to Hashem, which obviously implies that every time that they traveled, it was a travel because Hashem told them to, right? They were following directive, you know, straight directive of Hashem. And the second phrase, when it says it, it doesn't say according to Hashem, and it switches the language. We have to understand. I'll just read one more pasuk, and then we'll go back. V'yisu me'Ramses. So the first journey they took was from Ramses. Ramses is obviously in Egypt. Okay, they left Egypt. When did they leave Egypt? B'chodesh harishon, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan. V'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh harishon. Which day? On the 15th day of this first month. When was that? Mimacharas haPesach, right? The day, in other words, it was the day after they had brought that special sacrifice, the Korban Pesach. Yotzu b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, left b'yad Rama, with an upraised hand, le'enei kol Mitzrayim, before the eyes of all of the Egyptians. Now, just to note that the journeys that we will see, there are many journeys that they take, right? There are many places they stop in. And we know that their trip through the desert was quite eventful. It wasn't uneventful, it was very eventful. And in most of the places, or in many of the places, something special did happen. And yet you will see that it doesn't mention, we're not going to go through everything that happens in every place. Some of the places, it just gives us the name. So it's interesting, some it chooses to tell us and some it doesn't. Obviously, when it chooses to say what happened, there's something really special about that and very highlighted. But nevertheless, the lesson is obviously that we are meant to remember what happens in each of the places. That's the idea. So here, when it talks about leaving Egypt, it describes it so beautifully. This word biyad rama is an interesting language, with an upraised hand, which obviously shows us that we left with pride, with, if you want to say, very publicly, as we know how we left Egypt, in a sense, not running away, not escaping in the middle of the night. It was like, you know, we are leaving, we are victorious, we have overcome you. And as it says very clearly, before the eyes of all of the Egyptians. So they all had to watch how we were successful, right? This is what we are hoping for to re-experience, but you can see that's what Hashem did for us. And then just, I said one, but one more. And not only that, it's amazing how it describes. It goes even into more detail. Umitzrayim, we were leaving Biyad Rama with the ups, like, you know, so proudly and so full of strength and confidence and a sense of security. And what were the Egyptians doing at that time? Umitzrayim mikabrim esa sherika Hashem b'hem. And the Egyptians were burying those amongst whom Hashem had struck. Kol b'char, which were who? Or every firstborn. Ube'eleikehem as Hashem shvatim. And on their gods, Hashem had inflicted punishments. So you see, that we can see the contrast between the Jewish people is experience and what the Egyptians were going through at the exact same time. Okay, but now I want to, and then obviously it goes on. You can see, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael me Ramses. Then it tells us when they went from Ramses, they where did they camp in Sukkos, and then from Sukkos vayachanu be'Esaim. Do you see in Esaim, which was at the edge of the desert, and then okay, so let's go back now a little bit though. Go back to the first page that you had, because Rashi gives us right away the first question. That's a big question, because even though we said this is referring to the journeys of life, and sometimes when we talk in such a poetic way, it's a little bit clearer to understand why we should bother with these psukim. But just prep, then we know the Torah is so exact. Every word in the Torah is exact. So Rashi says, "Lama nichtavu hamasa'is halalu." Why were these journeys written? they're all there in the Chumash before, right? If you look from Chumash, from Parsha Shmais until the end of Bamidbar, you will find all these places. This is their journeys. This is their experiences. We've already written about them. So why do we have to like summarize them and write them all here? So he says like this. It's a very important, this is one important lesson for us. La'idiyah chasodav shel makim. To make known the acts of kindness of Hashem. How do we see the acts of kindness? She'af al-pi she'nigzar aleihem, even though it was decreed upon them, l'taltaleim u'lahaniyom bamidbar, to move them about and make them wander in the desert. This was the punishment. You know, we don't realize it wasn't just that they were stalled for 40 years. Rather, Hashem says, I will take you through and I will make you wander through the desert. And when we think about it, I'll tell you, there were 42. The list is 42 journeys. It was 40 years, 42 journeys. But even that's still quite a bit. In other words, what we might think when we reflect back to the Jewish people's time in the desert is that they were constantly packing their bags. Like, you know, on this kind of trip that's never settled. So here Rashi will say, we will fascinatingly be able to understand through the way it recaps and summarizes and puts it all together, we'll see that even though that's what maybe should have been, that's not how it was. Let's see, what does that mean? So he says like this. He says, Hashem said he's going to make them wander in the wilderness. He says, Loi Saimar, you should not say, Shahayu Na'im Umitultalim, that they were wandering and moving about, Mi Masa La Masa, from journey to journey, Kol Arba'im Shana, the entire 40 years, V'loi Haysa Lahem Menucha, and they had no rest. No, you know what? We're going to learn something amazing, he says. Shahare Ein Kan Ela Arba'im V'shtayim Asais. For here, if you count up, you'll have 42 journeys. In total, there were 42. Say mehen, arba esrei. So remove 14. Why? Why 14 are we going to deduct? Shekulam hayu b'shana rishayna. The first 14 were in the first year after they left Egypt. Kaidem gzera, before the decree. In other words, those are the 14 stops that they were supposed to take in order to get to the land of Israel. That was, had to be, you know, and those, even if they were, I mean, 14 is not so little in a year, but still, it's getting to the destination, and we all know, I mean, for most of us, if we're heading somewhere, we'll take anything, at least we'll get there, right? When we have the goal in mind, and especially when we want to get there, so make a few more stops, as long as we're getting there, right? So that year, fine, that was all done in a sense, with that sense of urgency and that sense of excitement that they are going to be entering the land of Israel. So 14 of these 42 are done in the first year, which means that we are leaving 28 for the next 39 years. Okay, now, still, let's see. That's already a lot less. But then we're going to get to even less than that. Then he says, as he says, Mishanosu me Ramses, Shamisham Achaba Rismah, from Ramses to Rismah, which is the first year, because in Rismah, Rismah is the place, Shamisham Nishtalchu Miraglim, that's where the spies were sent. Shenemar Va'achar Nosu Ha'ame Chatzeres, afterwards the people journeyed from Chatzeres, Shlach Lucha Noshim, that's where it says that they sent men, right, as we know, that was the Miraglim, and that's the first year in the desert. V'chanhu Oimer, and here it says, Vayisu Mechatzeres, Vayachanu Berisma, right? They journeyed from Chatzeres and they encamped in Risma. So we know, Lamadata, so we have learned, Shehi Midbar Paran, that's what we call in the Chumash, when we learned the story of the Miraglim of the spies, it mentions Midbar Paran. So obviously, Ritma, and we'll see why it's called that afterwards, is Midbar Paran. V'aid Haitzi Misham. So that's the first 14. First year, 14. We have to deduct more. What should we deduct? Shmoyne Masa, it's another 8. Why? Shehoyu la'achar misas Aaron. They were after the death of Aaron. Mehar ha'har ad arvais mayav. We know Aaron passed away in Har ha'har. That was in the 40th year, right? In Av, in the desert. The last, it was actually the end, like, the last second half of the 40th year in the desert. And there were 8 journeys after the death of Aaron. But we know not only were there 8 journeys, but we know that they also went backwards. Remember, they got so scared because the clouds of glory left them. So he says like this, that was in the 40th year. So what does that mean now? If you take off these 8, now you're only left with Shekol Shmeina Ushloishim Shana, so 38 years, Leinosu Ela Estri Masais. There was only 20 journeys in a time period of, yeah, so it's not so much at all, as you can see. 20 journeys in 30 years. Okay, so he says, he says like this, Zen, this is from the Rabbi Moshe of Action. So what's the idea? That it wasn't that they were getting up and down the entire time. Rather, and we know, it's interesting, it says there was one place that they stayed for 19 years. One of the journeys, one of the stops were 19 years, which is a very long time, quite a permanent, you know, kind of a feeling where they would set up shop and that's it, they were there. So it wasn't so bad. Now, that's one lesson. Another powerful thing, why he repeats it, and this is a beautiful lesson. So it says, Rabbi Tanchuma says like this. He says, Mashal lemelech, compared to a king, Shahaya b'nai chayla, whose son was ill. V'haylichay lemakayim rachayk, and he took him to a distant place. For what? L'rapaisa, right? He had to go to some doctor that was far away. Kevan shahayu chayzrin, once they started back, his chil aviv mayne, so his father began to count, to, so to speak, recount, kol hamasais, all of the journeys. And what did he say? So he, like, so to speak, he was conveying and reviewing with his son everything that they had gone through on their way to visit the doctor. And he says to him, Kan yashanenu, here we slept. Kan hukarnu, here we felt cold. Kan chashash desreshecha, here you had a headache, right? And he went through all the experiences that they had on their journey to the doctor. For what purpose? Why would the father do that? What was the idea? What would be the idea on the way back from the doctor to go through all of that? What did you say, Jackie?
It actually tells you.
It tells you on the bottom? Gives you the whole thing. Okay. Yeah, so look on the end. So he explains on the bottom based on... Actually, this is based on the Maharal, so we can talk immediately. It says,
right.
At the end of the painful journey, the king recapitulated for his son all that he had gone through on his son, the son's account, to remind the son of how much he loves him. Here too, Hashem, what does he do? He reviews for Israel the events of the 40 years sojourn through the wilderness to remind them of his love for them and inspire them to reciprocate. So, we slept represents the times that Israel was at peace. We felt cold represents the times Israel felt they were lacking something. You had a headache represents the times Israel was in danger. So you see, interesting thing. The father wants to bring home, because as we know, when we go through experiences, a lot of times, while we're in it, so we're going through it, you know, we feel it. But to remember it afterwards, not always, especially when it wasn't such good times, we want to, you know, push it out of our mind. Now, for the father, it's very important because he was the one schlepping his son, especially to this doctor, and found healing. So he wants to remind him, look what I did for you. Why? So that the son should remember and feel that love. And it was all out of love. But there's a few other beautiful lessons. It says like this. First of all, the father also wants to tell the son, I didn't just send you on your own. I was with you throughout and throughout all of your different experiences. The other thing also that it teaches us, a very beautiful thing, when, and this we're going to develop more a little bit later when we talk about the idea of the journeys, when is it good to stop and dwell, so to speak, and, you know, review and re-experience sometimes afterwards, better than while you're going through it. Because while you're going through it, you need to have all the strength, all of your emotional strength has to be in just dealing with what you're dealing with. Not so much analyzing and figuring out how it's going to help you grow. And, you know, sometimes you can't even talk about that when a person's going through, and you shouldn't when a person's actually going through a challenge. But after, and things have worked out, so to speak, and you're reflecting, and not always do they work out perfectly, as we know, life isn't that way. However, you are where you are now, right? So you're at a point, hopefully you've grown, that you reflect and that you realize, and that you also learn how I can grow through what I've experienced. That's another important lesson that he's showing us. Dafka after, not while. And then you also, what do you think about? So he gives three things interesting. He says, here we felt cold, here we were sleeping, here you had a headache. Each of these things can symbolize different things. But on a simple, like many, many ways of explaining it, one of the ways is when we talk about sleeping, we said that sometimes Hashem puts the negativity asleep. So there it's a little bit easier, you know, you can feel a bit more relaxed. But sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's cold and you feel the shade and you don't feel the sun. And then sometimes you have a headache, and a headache is when you're confused intellectually. That's when you're using your head and you don't know what the right decision is. And sometimes as we reflect back, we say we made the right decision. Sometimes we reflect back and we say maybe we didn't make the right decision, but that was the decision we made. So whatever it was, but now that we made that decision, we can definitely learn something from it and grow from it. So each of these things have different, it's quite fascinating, beautiful meanings of how it works. So again, one of the big things we see already, the reflection is done afterwards. But the journeys are very important. Now one other thing we're going to have to also understand is the word that's used is journey and not encampments. Because the truth is that when we talk about the names of the places, that's where they camped. But it doesn't say mas. It doesn't say camp like machane. It says masa. This is the journeys. Why are we emphasizing so much the concept of journeys rather than where they were? Because we're learning from the places, like the experiences that they had where they were. So it's an interesting thing to understand. We have to understand that. We're going to come back to that soon. Yeah, it's both, but it's, yeah, it's fascinating what we're emphasizing here. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Just Jackie, what did you say? It's
see, journey rather than encampment, I think, symbolizes for us Europe, Asia, Africa, Asia, Africa, Asia, Africa. Sometimes you have to stop, but when you camp, you're stopping for a longer time. And when you're masaling, you journey,
yes,
you are actually, you like to believe, I suppose
that you're moving forward.
Rather,
I don't know. Yeah.
A masa, to me, doesn't mean
that
you're moving backwards.
Mm.
It's, you know,
yeah.
A masa
is going forward,
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe you don't see it that way.
No, but 100%. Yeah. No, it's a good point. So that's one of the things that we're going to see at 100%. That's very much part of the lesson. Very, very, very much the concept of emphasizing the journey, the growth, the movement from it, 100%, rather than that feeling when you're actually there, so to speak. So I just want to share one more beautiful thing that I saw. That's it's an analogy from the Dubnu Magid. It's a beautiful one, because if you think about it, also we used two words. We said lemaitzaeyem, lemasaeyem. Maitzaeyem means like where they're leaving from, and masaeyem is where they're journeying to. So he says the truth is that there's two players here. There's the Jews and Hashem, and each one has a different perspective. And so he gives an analogy. What's the analogy? Let's say you have, he says, he gives a very interesting muscle. It's quite a scary one, but he says, how do you say, it's quite an emotional one. So this boy, he lost his mother very young. He was left an orphan. The father remarries, and the typical stereotype stepmother. And she was a wicked stepmother that was raising him, but so bad that the father also recognized it. And he felt very, very bad for his son. Came time when his son was eligible to get married. And the father, who loved his son, was very, very excited that finally his son would find some love and be in a good family. And he found a shidduch for his son, which was quite a distance away, but it was somebody who was he was related to, and he knew that this was a lovely family, and a lovely girl. So he takes his son, and now he's traveling. So they're traveling towards the shidduch. But this is going to be a much better life now for the son. So the Dubnu Magid says like this, that you could imagine on the trip, so the father keeps on asking the wagon driver, how much longer till we get there? The son keeps on asking the wagon driver, how far have we already traveled? Why? What's the difference? Because for the son, he doesn't know the family he's going to. He's hopeful, maybe it'll be better, but he doesn't know that for sure. But what he does know is, he's getting away from his wicked stepmother. Exactly. Whereas the father, who knows, he knows the family that the son is going to. And he is just so excited. the closer we're getting in the journey. So he says like this, that the Jewish people left Egypt. What did they know? They knew how bad Egypt was. So for them, it was all about how far they're getting from all the suffering that they had in Egypt. And every time they said, wow, another step further. Thank God, another step further. But for Moshe Rabbeinu, never mind Hashem, but for even Moshe, who understood the wonder of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he so yearned to be there, and was yearning so much for him, it was more, how close are we to getting to Israel? How close are we? How close are we? So that's why each one from their perspective. But they're both correct. They're both correct. Because both things are happening. You are leaving the pain and you are coming closer to the destination, which is something that you're working towards, right? Something greater. So it's a fascinating thing. But what's beautiful in this context, we say that two people in our own lives, every individual person can have both perspectives at different times, and sometimes we can actually have both perspectives at the same time, which is quite incredible. That's a very high, that's quite a deep level, because the truth is, while we are thinking about the pain that we've been through, it's a little bit hard to really transport ourselves to the good place, because when we're concentrating on the pain, we're feeling pain. So that's why it's a lesson also that sometimes we have to leave it behind and more concentrate on where we're going, that rather than where we have come from. You see, so it's an interesting thing. It has both sides. But they're both valid, they're both important, they're both valuable, and they both take place. And it's a fascinating thing. That's what we see, that's what's happening here through all the journeys that they're taking. So it's quite a beautiful mashal that the Dubin Magi gives, and a very beautiful way of understanding it. But now, I want to show you, in the other booklet that you have in front of you, let's see a few of the way that the classical Farshim commentaries tell us. So if you look on page one, you see the circle, the Sfar. So he gives us a very interesting perspective, and he says, what's the point of repeating all of this? So he says, Rotza HaKel Yisbarech, Sheyichtevu Maseh Yisrael. So Hashem, remember it was according to Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. Why? Why was that important? Because Hashem wanted it to be written down, Lahaydia Tzchusam, to remember and to let know and to make, you know, so to speak, obvious and famous the merit of who? Belechtam Acharav, the merit of the Jewish people, that we followed him into the desert, the Eretz Loizrua, right, to a land which is not inhabited, which doesn't have sustenance. In other words, Hashem is showing not just his love, as Rashi said, but the love of the Jewish people and the devotion and the Mesiras Nefesh that the Jewish people had, that they followed Hashem blindly, so to speak, into the desert. And he says, "Ba'ifen shahayu re'uyim," in a way that they were worthy. It goes to the next slide. See something continues, but okay. Well, that I think that's all for now. In a way that they were worthy. Let me just see if there was a little bit more to this Sfarn. Leikaneis la'aretz, to enter the land. Okay, so Sfarnu's perspective is actually a little bit, it's an interesting one. It's different to the other classical ones, because Rashi was showing us more that the Jewish people should be aware of the love of Hashem, right? That we should remember how Hashem took care of us. The Sfarnu is saying it from the other way, that Hashem is saying, I remember what you did for me. That you followed me blindly, went through all these different journeys, all these different places, just to get into the land of Israel, even though you had no idea what was going to be and what, you know, the risks and all the things that you were going to take. Show you the Rambam. Yes, sure, Sylvia.
It wasn't always just positive. I mean, they said, maybe we shouldn't have left
boy.
Egypt.
Oh,
we
boy. Yes. So, Sylvia, very valid point. It definitely wasn't always positive. Not only wasn't it always positive in that way, like in other words, that they were like, oh my gosh, it would have been good if we were back in Egypt. But also, in many of these journeys that they took, we know they made massive mistakes. Massive.
Well, the golden calf. The ultimate.
The ultimate, but there's so many, as we say, complaining and the mon and complaining and complaining and then kairach and the water and the lots of things, right, as we know. And each of these things are mentioned. They're we hinted to. And I'll just tell you very quickly, because we're going to get to that. The most, such an important lesson, such a valuable thing. Because as we say, this is our life. That's what we're talking about. When we look back, when we reflect, the fact remains that our lives are not perfect in any shape or form. No way, as we know. Many things, whether it be things that we suffered through or things that we chose that were also mistakes, right? So sometimes they weren't in our hands, and sometimes we made wrong choices, wrong decisions. This is such an important thing. Every step of our journey in life is valuable. That's the first, I'll just say it in a general way. Wrong steps and right steps, all valuable. Valuable to so much, to the point that that's what gets us to the destination. And without the missteps, we also wouldn't be able to get there. That's why 42 journeys to enter Eretz Yisrael, and every one of them is significant and get us closer to the destination. But sometimes we can only see it afterwards. So it's a big one, Sylvia, it's a big one. But yeah, we'll see after. It's fascinating. You know, the number 42 is also very significant. And now we're actually, it's interesting, now we're in the Sefiras HaOmer. Sefiras HaOmer is 49, not 42. But if you know that the 49 corresponds to the seven midos, right, the seven character traits, or the seven spheres, the seven ways that God, you know, so to speak, reveals himself. Seven times seven is 49, because each one of the seven is broken up of its own seven, in a sense, like you subdivide. But the truth is that even though we say the word seven, there's really six. The seventh one is called Malchus. Malchus is like this. Malchus literally translates as kingship. But in Kabbalah, Malchus is like the vessel, the kli. In other words, Malchus is what holds all the other six, and that enables the other six to go to the next, you know, to continue. Which means that in essence, there are really six different pathways, and the seventh one is the incorporation of all the six. So if you take six times seven, it's 42. And that's really the 42 journeys. That's also why we say, interesting, when you look at the 42 journeys that they had, they really had 49, because if you count up, remember when Aaron passed away, what happened was they went backwards. That means they had to go forward again. So they had to repeat seven. So really there were 49. And this corresponds to the 49 days that we are going from Egypt to getting the Torah. 42 or whatever have we say it over here, but 49 journeys to get to the land of Israel. So it's actually fascinating. It all is very, very specific and very exact. But let's see now. I want to show you how the Ramban says. So the Ramban says, Eilamase. Achrei nikmas Midyan, so after they took revenge on Midyan, she'amar le'akadosh baruch hu le'moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, achar te'asef el amecha, right, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, after this war with Midyan that we learned about in the parsha before, now you're going to pass away, right? V'achrei she'chalak, and then we know what Moshe Rabbeinu do, he divided Eretz Sichin v'oig, the land of Sichin and Oig, banu ha'arim and his curse, and they built the cities that we mentioned. Nasan daita lichtev ha'masais. So the Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that it's important to record and write down all the journeys. V'niskaven bazem, what was the intention? L'haydiya, as we mentioned in Rashi, l'haydiya ha'chasadav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu imayim, to remember and to remind us of all of the kindnesses of Hashem that Hashem did with us. Sh'af al-pi she'gozer aleim l'taltaleim, as we mentioned, even though Hashem really decreed that they would be wandering through the desert and moving all around, Bamidbar, don't think that they have to move so much. From one place to another constantly. And that they had no rest. But in all this long 40 years, they only went 42 journeys. So he's quoting exactly from what Rashi says. The Ramban, by the way, lived about close to 200 years after Rashi. And Rashi was the classical, you know, the classic commentary. But the Ramban was also considered from that same historical era. And many times he differs in his opinion from Rashi. But here he's quoting the same thing, and he looks like he's happy with what Rashi explains. But in the next page, I'll show you, page 3, he goes on to explain a little bit more. My computer is so much fun. How do I get that? Sorry. I'm going to go back up. Okay. Oh, I have to go to treat the computer very slowly. Sorry. I think it's page 4, but I'm just going to come to it. Okay. Where is it? Sorry. Maybe it's not. There was something else I wanted to see in the Ramban, but okay, I feel bad. I'm sorry driving you all crazy. Let's just go back now to page 2. Let's continue with it. So I want to show you one more thing. I want to show you what the Aruch Chaim. Aruch Chaim has his own, it's actually a very deep idea, but a very beautiful concept, because he takes the whole journeys and he takes it in a spiritual level. So we said that it represents our lives, but he takes it very spiritually. And he explains beautifully, and he says that the Jewish people, when they traveled through the desert, this represents a very spiritual journey of the whole world. What does that mean? When Hashem created the world initially, at the beginning in 6 days of creation, he put into the world a lot of sparks of holiness. There's a whole thing in Kabbalah that's explained. There was a shattering of vessels. The point is, there are sparks of holiness. Sparks of holiness just means different, if you want to say, revelations of godliness, which are found everywhere in the world. On a simple level, I'll tell you something beautiful. We are taught, it's a beautiful idea, we are taught that when a Jew goes anywhere, sometimes, you know, you, let's say on a simple level, we take a trip, and we take a, nowadays we have a GPS, but even still, take a wrong turn, because it's sometimes a bit too late, tells us to turn right, and we can't turn right, so we turn left, and we think, why, what do we have to be here for? So Kabbalah and Chassidus explained to us, yeah, you know what, you have to be there, because from the 6 days of creation, Hashem already destined that in this spot, there is a spark of holiness, of godliness, that's waiting for a Jew to arrive there. And if a Jew arrives there and thinks a positive thought, or even better, says a positive word, or even better, does a good deed, good action, in that spot, they reveal the godliness that's there. So, what does that mean? It's a very beautiful idea. That's on its own lesson, that we should have something, that's why we say we should have a, like some Tehillim that we know by heart, or something that we can say in a place, because who knows, maybe there was never a Jew that ever was in Australia, it's possible, never found himself there. And now we go there, and we bring the holiness, and we reveal the holiness of that spot. But Aruch Chaim says that in the desert, when the Jewish people traveled, there were many sparks of holiness that had been captured by the Satan, so to speak. That's what happened initially. That's why it was in the desert. The desert represents, and we understand it's a place of snakes and scorpions where there's no water. So it's a place of negativity. That's what it represents. And it represents where the negativity has captured the holiness. Sometimes people explain this idea to do with also with converts, that sometimes the neshama of a convert was captured, so to speak, in the unholy places. They find themselves in a not-Jewish atmosphere, right, in a not-Jewish place. But this neshama was always a neshama. The convert is not that, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you know the Hebrew word that's used for a convert. It says, ger shenis gayer, a convert that converts. It shouldn't say that. It should say, goy shenis gayer, right? A non-Jew that converts. Why does it say, ger shenis gayer? Because he was always a ger. He was born different. There's nothing to talk about. He has a neshama from, but has to go through the whole process in order to recapture that neshama from where it was unfortunately captured, right? So that's what happens. In the same way that that's really a, you know, that's a big one. But there's sparks, little sparks. Now the Jewish people, when they left Egypt, it says a beautiful thing. Those, that journey, this, these journeys, these 42 journeys through the desert, here is something unique. We had the entire Jewish people in one place. That hasn't happened since then, right? We never have that we all journey together. Small groups of us, because we've been scattered. We're all over. Even when we lived in Israel, we didn't all live there. And even if we did, it was a much bigger country. It's not all going through one trip to the next, to the next. So therefore, they had tremendous power. And they were able, in each of these places, to reveal and to recapture, so to speak, those sparks of holiness that were taken by the negative side. And Aruch Chaim says, this is these 42 journeys. Each one represents another place where they're taking more holiness, which means, it's a very beautiful thing. It's almost like we could picture, you know, you go on a scavenger hunt, and you are told to, in each place, find something. So now when you come to the end, you have a whole suitcase full of treasures. It says when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, they were taking with them all of the holiness that had previously been in the desert. They emptied it out, and they were taking it with them into the land of Israel. So the holiness of the land of Israel was amazing in itself, and now they're bringing even more holiness with them. That's the beauty. That's what we say. That's a very powerful idea. And that's why, in a way, that part of the world doesn't have much holiness left there, as we know. So we don't have to be there, and we're not there. So we don't need to be there. What we need to be is in the land of Israel, where all the holiness is now, or is concentrated. But for us, where we find ourselves, all over the globe, obviously this, we don't know why, Hashem has his, you know, his way, where he puts us. And when we find ourselves, there's something there that we are meant to accomplish. There's some spark of holiness that's waiting for us to find. And that's what the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh explains. It's a very beautiful idea. And this is what these, that's why we mention the names. And it's important to recap, because each one of these was an accomplishment and a tremendous revelation, so to speak, that they brought with them. And that's what took place here. Now, there's another one or two of these in the classical ones. I just want to see. There's one more for sure. Oh, another beautiful one. The Sfarnu on page 3. So now, remember we mentioned, we said they left and they arrived. You know, Moitza'eyem means from where they're going, and Maseyem is like the journey to where they're coming. So he says a very interesting thing. So it's on page 3, the Sfarnu. And he says, now if you reflect, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, it's, as you can see, he says, they traveled, let's say, from Sukkos, and they camped in Esaim. And then it says, they traveled from Esaim, and they camped in, so it's repetitive, actually. It's interesting. Each time it says, and they traveled, and they camped. And then they traveled from, and they camped. Why? So he says something, because it's a very important lesson. He says, first of all, Kasav HaMokoyim Sheyotsu Eilav, tells us the place that they are going to, right? The journey, the destination. V'hamakayim asher nosu mimenu. And it also tells us where they're leaving from. So it tells us both the destination as well as where they're actually leaving from. Why? Ki lif'amim hayu hamakayim shiyatsu eilav b'tachlis haraya. Sometimes the place that they were journeying to was actually a very negative place. When we, again, okay, I'll qualify what negative means, but it could be like, in, on a simple level, let's just say, as we know, let's say if somebody goes to Israel, right, sometimes you have to make stops in places that are not so amazing, right, but you're getting somewhere, that's your, you know where you're going, but still, you have to stop in a place that's not a positive place, and that's going to get you closer to where you have to go. Now, so, he says like this, sometimes the destination wasn't a good place. Sometimes, he says, v'hamokim shenosu mimenu toiv, but the place they were leaving from was good. That's hard. It's hard to go from, let's say, 5-star accommodation to 1-star, right? That's much harder than we know, then he says. And sometimes, the eila mas'ayim l'maitza'ayim, this is where it stresses the destination to, so to speak, like, so to speak, and from where they left, he says, because sometimes, ulefamim, sometimes sometimes it was the opposite. So sometimes they're leaving from a bad place and they're going to a good place. Well, that's easier, for sure, no question. And then he says, it also mentions the fact that they traveled. Why does it mention the fact that they're actually traveling? Because that's another part to the story. So there's two parts. One part is they could be leaving from a good place to a bad place. Sometimes they're leaving from a bad place to a good place. The other part that it's highlighting, again, because remember the Sfarnu's theme is that we're talking about the praise of the Jewish people, that they're ready to do anything to follow Hashem. So he says, and this is a very important thing we know in life, and even just simply in traveling, he says, El hamakayim b'li hakdamas yediyah. Sometimes it's without knowing. We have no idea where we're going. All right, this is hard in life, as we know. Sometimes we find ourselves in that position where things seem very ambiguous, very open, and we know things are changing, but we don't know what's going to happen. And he says, this is very hard. This was very, very difficult. And with all of this, they didn't hold back. So even though Hashem would tell them in the morning, wake up and go, and they didn't know where they were going, they would wake up and go. The truth is, in life, most of us, that's most of life, we have no idea. As we know we wake up in the morning and we think we're going here and we end up somewhere else. It happens many times, as we know, because we don't know where, because we're not really in control. But the truth is, most of life, even though that's true and we know about that, but generally speaking, we plan, you know, and hopefully most of the time it works out, you know, like that. But we don't really know. And yet the attitude has to be that we go with bitachon, right? With that sense of security. That's why it mentions that they traveled from this specific place, and they camped in this specific place. Because both the travels and the camps were difficult, because we don't know whether it be going from a good place, a bad place, to a good place, to a bad place, not knowing. It was all a challenge, and they did it. That's what the Sfarim says. So it's actually also a very beautiful idea in life, the attitude. Oh, it's not easy always, but that's the attitude that we're meant to have, so to speak, that we're just going forward, as we say, following, because we really believe, as we mentioned before, that Hashem is traveling with us and that there is a purpose to all of the experiences that we go through. That's a very important thing to give us value to it. And here is where we continue the Ramban. So I just want to show you something beautiful. Because the Ramban here now quotes from the Rambam. And you see, very interesting, it's not the usual, but he's quoting from Meir Nevuchim. You know, Meir Nevuchim is the Guide to the Perplexed, one of the very famous books of the Rambam. And he explains also a whole other, it's just a slightly different perspective as far as why it is so important to remember and to mention all of these different journeys that we've taken. Okay, so he says a beautiful thing. He says, why? Why do we have to recap? He says there's a very important thing in there knowing. It is extremely important to remember and to mention these travels. It is very important, he says. It is very valuable. Why? Because the miracles, and all, and these are all the signs, hanasais that were done, they were true to all of those who saw them, who experienced them. It's interesting because it's very much connected to what's going on in this week in the calendar, right? You know, you go, you hear stories of people, history, and you say, oh, what's the point? Why recap? Why tell us it's finished, it's gone, it's the past, especially when they were painful ones? What's the point? Here the Ramban tells us it's extremely important for us to pass on to generations. Why? Because we know all the stories that we've been through, all of the experiences. The fact that we're here as a Jew is miraculous, absolutely miraculous. And even in our own personal lives, we think, oh, we just lived ordinary lives. Nothing is ordinary. And every step is miraculous. And we've experienced things in our life. So now, for those of us who experience, right, our experiences are real to us. To our children, less real. To our grandchildren, even less real. Because they didn't experience it, and they only hear about it. What must we do? We must talk about it. Because we were the ones who went through it. So we have to share. He says a very beautiful thing, the Meir Nevuchim says. Because, he says, Ach ba'asid yudvarim b'shmua. Because in the future, they will only be things that people hear about and people will deny it. They'll say it's not true. They'll say it's a lie. And he gives an example. He says, and all the miracles, all the signs in the Torah, and all the wonders, and he goes through them. The fact that the Jewish people went through the desert for 40 years. And the fact that that there was man every day. Where did they spend their time? In places that were far from inhabited land. The Einan Tivias, it wasn't natural Livnei Adam for a man like Makam Zera, Ute Eina, Vigefen, Verimain. These are not places that things grow. You know, when you hear stories of people who've gone through the Holocaust, you think it's not possible. Just yesterday I heard one woman, I don't know, was on YouTube, she was talking about her. It's a famous story, but of course I forgot her name, and there's a whole book, and I think they made a movie about it. So she and her six or seven siblings were hiding. It was in Poland, I think, and her mother was killed in Auschwitz, and they all survived. Where do you find that? The non-Jew hid them, was one of the few, you know, the non-Jew that hid them. Seven siblings to survive. I mean, it's miraculous in that circumstance, and the fact that somebody actually took the chance and hid them. So you can think it's not true, but that's why they have to share. They must, because it is true. It's a fact, and they all got to the U.S. after, and they've all established families, whatever it may be. But all of these stories that we have, we have to share them, because people will deny them afterwards otherwise. That's what the Rambam says. It's very interesting. That's what actually the Rambam says. And he says, and that's what also, all the things that went on in history, Jewish history, he said, oh, it didn't happen. It's only Baba Maisis, it's only stories, it's only this. And sometimes, even nowadays, people, I don't know, they mean well maybe, but they'll say it's all allegory, it didn't really happen. No, we have to really believe that they traveled actually through a desert, and it wasn't a place that things grew, and there were 3 million people there, and there were clouds of glory, and the mun fell, and the water of Miriam was there. It's all reality, fact. It wasn't, it's not just some, you know, some mushel for something else. It does mean something else also, but it actually happened. The only way for us to make sure that we continuously know about it and believe in it is if we mention it and talk about it and write it down and record it and in the reality, because that's the only way. So that's what the Rambam says quite beautifully. He says, "V'amr teri lechem loy, right? Lechem loy achaltem, v'yayin v'shecher loy shesusem, right? You didn't eat bread and you didn't drink wine. V'chol eila oisais, they're all signs. Heim b'maisen neis, they're signs of miracles. Nearest line that they actually experienced, that they saw. Ukasher yada habari yisperach, when Hashem knew, ki yavar aleila ha'oises mashi yavar al divrei hayomim, that all of these miracles, what will happen to them is what happens to the usual historical things, that they become forgotten, and they become denied, and that they become questioned. Oy, and this is what we see now. It's so crazy out of the world. Everything's accelerating. It used to take hundreds of years for people to deny. And now, even while people are alive, people deny the whole. I mean, it's unreal. So you see what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying is so true. We must tell so people know it's not lies. They actually happened. It did happen exactly as we're telling them. And they still deny.
Apparently, President Eisenhower insisted that they take photos of everything. And they have all these subjects,
thank
and
God.
They
still deny it.
As you say, the survivors.
The survivors. But that's why we have to, that's why we have to, yeah, 100% Sylvia. It's unreal. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Think of Mrs. Roberts,
yes. Yes. Yeah. Incredible. That's...
When they were
killed,
they were shooting the people around the pits. She escaped over the bombs. I thought she was also dead.
Dead. That's how she's
dead. And when they left, she crawled over the bodies to get out of one particular place.
Oh, really? And then we have to go there. Unbelievable.
She often said she survived as a Mississippi Robert.
Yeah.
You had to survive because you had to teach Jewish children.
Yeah.
Because
she
was such a fantastic teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and that's so now. Yeah, that's our responsibility is to, yeah, to keep going. And look, unfortunately, now they went through it again. Anyway, it's all unreal, manish. Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay, so then he says, I just want to continue, just finish this, and then we'll stop for today. Just quickly, he says, okay, about the Yachshuvukia Midasam Amidra Hayezakarev. So people will, like, as we say now, they'll change the story. They'll say, no, it was close to where the inhabitants, you know, okay, they went through the desert, but it wasn't really desert, you know, it wasn't the heart of the desert. It was near where people live. Asher b'nei Adam Sham, commanded birds, Asher Yashavnu, Sham b'nei Arev Hayayim, like where the Arabs live now, he says, you know. So they'll just like in other words, they'll sort of rationalize and make the stories more possible without the miracle part component to it. Like, it's not necessarily miraculous. Or maybe it was really places that things grew. There were plants there for people to eat. Really, there were wells there. So therefore, in order to distance these thoughts, in other words, this denial of the miracles, and to strengthen these signs with the remembrance of the actual journeys that they took. so that the future generation should be able to see them. So they'll know the tremendous miracles. How actual people were able to stand in places, oh, I don't even have the rest of it, but it doesn't matter, in places that are truly places that a human can't be. And that's, as you're saying, it's impossible, you would think, to survive, and she survived. And that's what this Jewish history, the Jewish story is. The truth is, as we say, we're going to see next week a little bit more in detail about how this really, I mean, we all can reflect about it, but it's our own lives when we think back. Every bit, it's really miraculous, the fact that we're here wherever we are, and all the different experiences that we've had, and where it's taken us, and where we are today. And we do, we have to reflect, we have to remember, and we have to be grateful, as we say, and full of an interesting sense of joy that the journey wasn't easy, as you say, and there were lots of not easy parts, but it's taken us to where we are, and what we're really hoping for, this is a Emirat Hashem. The journey is only in the middle, as we know, but we are at, as over here, we're just at the border. Here they are, literally at the border of Yarden Yerecha, here we say, the Jordan River, where they're about to cross with Yahushua. And please God, we should be able to, as we say, have the land of Israel in the peaceful way that it should be, where the whole, we don't care what the world thinks, but the whole world is forced to recognize and to be there to support us, to be there, that's what the only ones that will be around, the ones who are willing to support. And that we should be able to live in peace where we're meant to be, that we should go through, as we said, complete the journey, in a sense, and be at the destination, which is in, as we say, in the beautiful land of Israel, in a peaceful way, in a complete way, in a way of true revelation of godliness. And in Mirtz Hashem, that will be. It will be now. In Mirtz Hashem. Yes.
With us, it's uplifting.